In the beginning, God created the world and all that's in it. He created man and woman in His own image and for the purpose of glorifying Him, both individually and together. God has created humanity to worship Him together as a people of faith. Worshiping God is the appropriate response of creatures made in His image, for not only are we made to worship, but the Lord is truly worthy of worship. In Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." The word worship comes from the Old English word worth-ship, meaning to ascribe worth and honor to another. We worship the Lord when we recognize Him as worthy of all honor and glory, ascribe Him such worth, and live in a manner worthy of His name. See Psalm 29, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Worship, therefore, takes on different forms. Private worship, when we're alone with the Lord, reading His Word and praying. Family worship, when the whole household is gathered together to seek Him. And corporate worship on the Lord's Day. And running through and beyond all of this is the life of worship Paul calls us to in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." But what I have in mind as we consider the environment of the pulpit is specifically corporate worship within the local church. Corporate worship. I love corporate worship. Since my conversion in my late teens, I've always been excited to get to church on Sunday and sing praises to God, hear His Word, and pray with His people. Of course, this doesn't mean I've always been excited to go to a particular church, but I have always loved worship done well. I have worshiped with all kinds of churches. I've been with tiny congregations where worship made me exult in the joy of our risen Savior. And I've worshiped with large congregations that left me wishing I had stayed in bed that morning. Of course, I've also experienced this the other way around. My wife and I once attended a small Reformed Baptist church. The building was plain Jane. No cool lights hung in the sanctuary. They had no worship pastor, no choir, and no instruments. Yet their gathering was truly powerful, and I found myself worshiping in spirit and truth. Why? On the one hand, they had all the essential elements needed for corporate worship. Yes, some things are required. The Word of God read and preached, the prayers and songs of God's people lifted up in the name of Jesus Christ, and the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper rightly administered. But simply having these elements in place is not enough. These must be carried out with focus, a sense of depth, clarity, passion, and purpose. Focus. The focus of the gathered church is the Lord Jesus Christ and His work of salvation, accomplished through His life, death, and resurrection for all who believe. Corporate worship should be distinctly Christian, incapable of being confused with another cause, movement, or religion. A proper focus on Jesus means that the whole gathering should work to lead everyone present to see Jesus. This means every aspect of the gathering, every part of the liturgy, should be designed to help us draw near to Christ by faith. Whatever is not helping us move toward Him needs to be cut.